Michael Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. The kids are in Cleveland. Kevin and Violetta.
Are the kids all right? Have we checked? Have we heard from them? I guess Kevin we just heard from, so that's good.
We have not heard from Violetta in an hour.
But that's troubling. That's very troubling.
She's the youngest member of our staff, so we make her check in more frequently. Because we just don't want to, you know, we want to make sure everything's okay with her.
Right. Just call mom and dad.
Why aren't you home yet? That's what I,
let us know where you
texting
are.
Her that. Yeah.
I want to make sure you're safe.
Yeah. Are you safe? And it's always, no. And that's the way she likes it. So we'll check back in with Kevin at Progressive and with Violetta at the $5 parking lot or whatever bar she can find herself falling into.
Sure. I have news for Violetta, though. I don't think tomorrow it's going to be a $5 parking lot.
Don't tell her that.
Okay.
Don't destroy her dream.
Okay.
All right. You know, we were talking about, we just had Michael Steele on, we were talking about the big national race. But there's races going on here locally and in the state of Illinois. And so why not have a conversation about some of that? And Susanna Mendoza's with us. You know her and you love her as the city clerk of Chicago. But now she wishes to be your state comptroller. And now I was very dear friends with Judy Bart Topinka for many years, the great, late, great Judy Bart Topinka. And I still never understood exactly what she did. And I think most people don't understand because the comptroller is separate in the state of Illinois from the treasurer. In some states, the roles are combined into one job. But in Illinois, we have two different people. The treasurer handles the money once it comes in, but the comptroller pays all of the bills, right? Isn't that how that goes?
That's correct. Yes. And it started because back in...
See, I did know.
Maybe I did. See?
Yeah.
Nailed it.
So back in the 1950s, there used to be just one spot, and it was the Auditor of Public Accounts, and it was held by Orville Hodge. And you'll be super surprised. You'll be so shocked, to know that when he was there, he got convicted of embezzling over $6 million.
No.
Oh, my
gosh. Yep, the guy who wrote the checks and invested the money and was responsible for being a check on himself, obviously, just wrote lots of checks to himself. So he embezzled over $6 million, went to jail. And then in the 1970, during the Con-Con, they went ahead and created the position of treasurer, an accountant separate from that. And also, the auditor and then also the comptroller, which is responsible for paying the state's bills. So like Mike Frerichs invests the state's money as state treasurer.
Right?
And then the comptroller is responsible for paying the state's bills.
Okay. So Was that the guy that they found with the shoeboxes full of cash when he died?
His name was Paul. But that happened after, around the same time as the Con-Con, 1970.
Okay, because when he passed away, they went to his closet and he had shoeboxes filled with cash,
like millions.
Yeah,
isn't it sad that we can't even keep the corrupt politicians actually straight in Illinois? It's like because there's so many of them.
Yeah, there was a lot of them. Yeah, it was Paul Powell.
Yeah, he was the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Different guy.
because you can make your check out to the name of the person,
right,
as opposed to Secretary of State. So if you wanted your for your license plate, you make it out to Paul Powell, and then you would just make it out, and he would keep it. I mean, that's not the way that should be,
no,
is it?
No, not at all. No way. I mean, it's crazy. And so, again, there's a reason for the existence of the office, and it's supposed to be a checks and balance, not just on the treasurer's office, but also on the executive-level members, particularly the governor's office. So that's my whole beef right now in that, just on, Thursday, I think it was, our current comptroller actually accepted, as the person who's supposed to be the checks and balance on Governor Rauner, she accepted a $1 million check directly from Governor Rauner. I mean, think about that. The checks and balance
for
just took a check for $1 million for her campaign. And now she's up to, within just the last 20 days, almost $9 million from just three people, the governor and his two best billionaire buddies. It's just insane. We've never seen this kind of money ever. And he literally just purchased the office of the comptroller. It shouldn't be for sale.
Because this is interesting. Because and in politics, right? I mean, people are swapping money all the time. That's what occurs. But I mean, there is a very concerted effort to try to break the Democrat hold in Springfield, specifically trying to undermine Mike Madigan because the state is broke. There has been mismanagement. There are problems, right? These do not fall at your feet because you've been here as city clerk, but they do fall at the feet of the people who've been running Springfield for a long time.
Well, decades and decades,
so
right?
So how do Illinois voters who'd like to see that broken apart, how and the city or the state managed better than it currently is managed in terms of its budgets, why should they vote for Democrats?
Well, I would say that as bad as things have been, let me just remind your audience that it hasn't only been Democrats over the last 30, 40 years. Even Dawn Clark Netsch, who used to be the comptroller, when she would go before the editorial board, she would talk about how this problem has existed for over 30 years, right? And so we're talking about decades of mismanagement. And over the last, 30, 40 years, we really have had, out of the six governors, four of them have been Republican. So this is not just a Democratic problem. This is a problem that is shared by anybody who's ever served, period. And when I was there over 10 years, while my opponent would like to blame me for all of the fiscal woes of the state, it's just absurd. I mean, I had
to... When you were a legislator.
Yeah, I was a legislator for 10 years. Yeah. And I had to serve to represent the people of the southwest side of the city of Chicago, and I had to make decisions of are schools going to open on time or not? Are seniors going to get the critical services that they need to survive and live with some semblance of dignity? Are kids going to get their MAP grant funding for college? These are real decisions, and when the Republicans for decades, and I can guarantee you this, the 10 years that I was there, there wasn't a single year that we were able to put Republican votes on any budget, and it wasn't because we didn't have budgets that we wanted to discuss, it's that they didn't want a seat at the table. And it was because when I was there, primarily we just had a Democratic governor, and it was like, well, you guys... That's not our guy. That's not our party. We don't need to put any skin in the game. And that's not right, because this should be shared sacrifice from both parties. And what I do know is that no matter how bad things were when Governor Rauner got elected, he was elected to make things better, right? He was elected to make things better. He didn't create the mess. I wouldn't say he did. But he inherited a mess that has only gotten exponentially worse by every single account that our state can be measured. Even Crane's Business Magazine, which historically leans to the right, and is very pro-business, has said that his tenure as governor has been a complete disaster. He has failed the state of Illinois, and his policies, they're not just, morally corrupt, they're fiscally unsound.
Why would you say morally corrupt?
Because, for example, I believe that when you cut autism funding on World Autism Day, which, by the way, Good Friday, I mean, like, just to top it off, that's not, you're doing that because you have zero moral compass at that point. How can you do that on that day? When you tell a working mother who makes $10,000 a year that her children should not be eligible for child care subsidies, when this governor is making $53 million a year just in passive income for breathing, how is he going to tell a mother who makes 10 grand a year that she doesn't deserve not a handout, but a helping hand? I think that's morally corrupt, but this is why it's fiscally unsound.
Let's talk about fiscally unsound. Yeah. I understand the politics behind that, but what I would wonder as an Illinois resident, someone who's very concerned about the future
the
of the state,
sure.
Right? Because if this state goes under, or if Chicago goes under, then we've got, then we were the last bastion of hope in the Rust Belt, in the upper Midwest, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of keeping an economy going in the cold weather in America. And right now it's shaky. We've got a lot of problems at the state level and the city level and all that, not to mention the social problems. How do we pay for this party?
Yeah, so it's difficult because there's no budget. So number one, let's get a budget in place. And again, this is the first time in history.
If we were to get a budget in place, what would you want? What would you like to see cut? They got to cut something.
Oh, of course you have to cut things. I think they need to do a whole new revamp of every single organization that does get money, and to do some sort of an audit, right? To see is this an agency that's absolutely necessary? Is this a program that could be folded into another program where we could save some money?
But you've done, you must have done the research on this because you're running for controller.
Sure.
Is there something you would like to see? That you think would be a good, that you could suggest? It's not your job.
Yeah, well, I can just tell you right now, over $3 million were just paid out. $3 million. We're saying that we have no money, right? The comptroller says there's no money. But if you read the paper today, over $3 million were doled out per Governor Rauner to bonuses for state employees. Bonuses for state employees that are not part of a union. So these are not contractual obligations. She can't say, I had to pay them. She's telling social service agencies that we don't have any money, because guess what? We don't. So at a time of shared sacrifice, there's no reason why a single employee in the state of Illinois should have gotten a bonus of over $1,000
or more. Was that legislatively approved or executive branch?
No, that was per the governor's agencies, which he directs. And so if you read the story, it says Governor Rauner, approved these bonuses. But that's where she should have stood up as the comptroller and said, hey, I'm not going to pay them. And if you want me to pay them, then sue me. Because just like everybody else has to wait their turn and we should be prioritizing the most vulnerable right now, I would argue that the comptroller should use her bully pulpit to say, I'm not going to approve 1,100 bonuses for state employees at a time where we have absolutely zero money and I have to tell a domestic violence shelter that they're closing down because they're not getting their money. Mm-hmm. $3 million is not chump change. That's a lot of money. She also paid out $4.1 million to IDOT in performance bonuses earlier in the year. Now, she complained at the time that, oh, well, I didn't know those were bonuses and they were probably related to contractual obligations. So here's the deal. She either does know what's going on in her office and how we're paying those bills, or she doesn't. And so either option is bad. She's either covering for Governor Rauner, or she really truly doesn't know what those line items are that she's responsible for paying vouchers on. And so either option is bad for voters, because you need to have a comptroller who isn't, who truly is accountable to the people and who is transparent. And right now we're hearing these stories because of FOIA requests put in by the press, not because she's saying, hey, I object to paying $4 million.
That a FOIA request came back.
Right, exactly. What is the percentage on that? Suzanne, let me ask you something, because this has been a very strange year in politics.
Sure.
And it's been years coming, I'm sure. People are asking how our politicians are going to serve us more than ever before, and mm-hmm. feel as if there isn't that accountability.
Sure.
And so I guess my question to you would be, keeping her out of
sure.
it, how do you feel you'll have the most impact on all of us who vote for you or decide not to, whatever, as the case may be?
Well, I have a proven track record of standing up to leaders in my own party. I was elected by actually running against the speaker's endorsed candidate back when I was 25. I lost that race, but then I won again, even with him doubling down against me. I won the second time I ran. And so I was a very independent legislator. I got along great with Democrats and Republicans. My record shows that. If you pull most of my bills, you'll see that there's Democrats and Republicans on them, because I pride myself in being very bipartisan. But most importantly, I would say that while that's true in the legislative side, I've been an excellent executive manager running the second largest office in the city of Chicago, the city clerk's office. When I took it over back in 2011 as the first woman ever elected to that office, the Civic Federation at the time reported in their annual report that we should get rid of the office, that we should merge it into the mayor's office, that there was nothing our office did, that the mayor's office couldn't do better. And I took an office that, like I said, many people said shouldn't even exist, and in less than 5 years transitioned it into what everyone says today is a model in government efficiency. You guys remember those long lines at City Hall? It was 2 to 3 hours that people would have to wait to go pay a tax that's existed since 1908. And it took over 100 years for somebody to come in there and say, there's got to be a better way to do this. And so we got rid of that June system of selling 1.3 million stickers and transitioned the entire
this
city
is for
of Chicago.
City stickers.
Yeah,
for
the, cars, I'm sorry, the city yeah. sticker. Yeah, and transitioned the entire city of Chicago away from that inefficient system onto a year-round system. We eliminated the lines. They're down to like 5 or 10 minutes max. People are in and out. They can't believe it. But the coolest thing about it is that we did that. So we performed this great customer service, all the while reducing my budget every year that I've been clerk. I come in under budget, including this year. I did it with 10% less payroll than when I started. I've cut my overtime in that office by over 70%. And we've generated in just 5 years over $50 million in new revenue without asking taxpayers to pay more. That's how you run government like a business. And that's the kind of innovative and forward thinking and executive management that people can count on from me as their comptroller, should they vote for me.
All right, there's Susana Mendoza. She wants to be your next state comptroller in the state of Illinois. And I will vouch for an incredible efficiency at the city clerk's office, because I'm a lifelong Chicagoan. Mm-hmm. And I've had a number of city stickers over the years. And it didn't run like that before, I can tell you that.
Right, it didn't. And we should let some of our listeners know who are confused. Susana Mendoza is not Violetta Podramatic, because some people think your voice sounds a lot like our traffic reporter. Like, wow, really, go, not, Violetta,
her,
run
cool.
for president.
Yeah. We actually, when we hired Violetta, that was the first thing I
you
thought.
You did say that.
She sounds just like Susana Mendoza.
Seriously, she's got that raspy voice.
Yeah,
it's a great
raspy
voice.
Sort of raspy yet youthful
Well,
in spirit.
Every day she should say, vote for Susana Mendoza. when she does.
Well, if you pay her to do that, she will do that every day. That's
I can't afford it. I don't have the $9 million. Right? That's not me.
All right. Oh yeah, that's
true. Just pay her parking in Cleveland. That would
yeah,
that would help.
Maybe that. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get her. You know what we'll do is we'll get her a Cleveland City sticker. Can you call your opposite number in Cleveland?
I don't have as much clout as people give me credit for. So,
all right. Well,
no.
All right. Well, then I'll have to do. Like everything else around here, I'll have to pay for it. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good luck.
Thanks for having me, guys.